6, 2 Peter chapter 1, Judges 6, 2 Peter 1. Good to see you again in the house of God. What a joy it is to be here and to be saved, have the peace of God. I'm going to preach about that this morning. And what a blessing it is to know God. Saw a sign one time that said, "Know God, no peace." That is K-N-O-W. Know God, no peace. But know God, N-O. Know God, no peace. And so what a blessing it is to know God. Judges chapter 6, 2 Peter chapter 1. We're preaching through. Just find your place in Judges 6 and then hold your finger in 2 Peter 1. We'll read 2 Peter 1 first. And we're preaching through this series of messages on the names of God. And each name of God is going to reveal something different about God. And they all go different avenues and reveal a complete different characteristic of our Heavenly Father. We looked at Jehovah Jireh, which means God is a provider. We looked at Jehovah Rapha, which means God is a healer. We looked at Jehovah Nissi, which means God is our banner. We looked at Jehovah Kadesh last week, and that's God who is our sanctifier. This week is going to be Jehovah Shalom. God is our peace. Jehovah Shalom. You know, I've noticed as I began to think about this message and to bring this message about, I look at the world today and I see that there is a lack of peace in the hearts of people. Amen. There's just a lack of peace, and we scream as a nation, and we scream as a people that we want world peace, and we've got the National Council of Churches that's trying to help churches, and we've got, you know, the world, all these world councils, the national organizations that are set to bring about world peace. But hear me this morning, there will be no world peace until this world finds peace individually. Amen. It's going to take peace individually first before you can find peace corporately. And the only way that you can find peace individually is have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as long as this world remains Christless, and as long as this world remains without Jesus Christ dwelling in their heart, they're going to be a people and nations that are just geared on conflict and war. Amen. And so that is why, even though that we are supposedly, and I do believe we are a peaceful nation, we remain strong, and we must remain strong militarily, because there are others who do not believe in a peaceful way. And listen, the reason that there's not world peace is just inner conflict. There's anxiety, there's worry, there's trouble, there's distress, there's fear, there's just inner turmoil in the hearts and the minds of people. Oh, I thought about, even in America, I thought about where the joke where the guy goes and they find this lone survivor on an island. He's all by himself. And they discover him there, and there are three huts built. And they said, "Well, you're here on this island all by yourself, and yet you've got three huts built. What are these huts?" And he said, "Well, I live in this one, and I go to church in this one." And they said, "Well, what's this other one?" "Oh," he said, "that's where I used to go to church." People, it seems, just cannot get along even with themselves. But I want us to read here in 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter says this, "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ." There he is, an apostle. We studied that Wednesday night. "To them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." I want you to see something in this verse before I move on. He says, and I want you to say this with me, here we go, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the," here's what I want you to say this word with me, "knowledge." Okay? He says you can have peace and grace multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Read verse 3. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the what? Knowledge of Him that hath called us unto glory and virtue. Peter says there's something that will multiply. He does not say this does not just add peace to your life. This does not just add something to your life. This multiplies it. It multiplies exponentially. That, remember last week we looked at abounding and abounding and abounding. This is going to be multiplied in your life. And he says the way to have that peace multiplied is through the knowledge of God. Let's pray. Father, this morning, there are hearts here that have no inner peace. And I pray somehow that the Spirit of God would reach down and touch that heart that's troubled. And Lord, there are hearts here that have not confessed their sin, and that sin is troubling their heart. I pray that You'd somehow in this message speak to them through the Spirit of God and speak to that sinful heart. And then there's this morning hearts that are worried and minds that are suffering anxiety and the pressures of life. Lord, somehow, as Jehovah Shalom, the God of our peace, I pray that You would reach down and touch that troubled heart. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Peter's personality trait, if you remember him, Peter was always outspoken. He was always outgoing. Peter was often overreacting. Peter was never a person you could look at as a disciple of Jesus Christ and say, that man's got a lot of peace. No, he was always in outer conflict. He was always in inner conflict. But as we read this, Peter is an aged apostle. He's not just young Peter, the disciple of Jesus Christ, who's running around shooting off his mouth, making people mad, preaching big fiery messages. He's now an aged apostle, and he says that he has found peace multiplied in God through the knowledge of God. Peter has experienced something in his life, and he's learned some things in his life, and he says, this peace in my life is not just in theory. It's not just theoretical. It's experiential. I can experience this peace, Peter says, in my life. It's not just a theory in the Bible. It's not just a theory of religion. I can experience the peace of God, but it comes through the knowledge of God. You say, Pastor, how do I find the knowledge of God? We find it in the Word of God. Don't neglect your study of the Word of God. Don't neglect your faithfulness to the house of God. For all of these things add to you the knowledge of Almighty God and multiplies your peace. Oh, what a blessing. So, listen, as I go on quickly, religion places emphasis on peace with different things. Now let's think about this. Religion places an emphasis on peace with different things. Religion places an emphasis, first of all, with a self. Peace with self. And we ought to have peace with ourselves. Amen. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like me. I don't like me. There's a lot of things about me that I just don't like at all. And the only way that I can find peace with myself is having peace with Jesus Christ, my Savior, who loves me and accepts me as I am, and who is building me into a person that is like unto Him. The only way that I like George is to see some kind of Jesus in me. Don't we sing the old song, let others see Jesus in you. Hey church, let others see Jesus in you. And so Doris Mortman has said this, until you make peace with yourself, until you make peace with who you are, you'll never be content with the things that you have. That's true. And religion deals with the externals of peace with self. But let me remind you of something. I don't think I've told you this before. The word religion appears in the Bible 7 times. 6 out of 7 times, the word religion is a bad word. 6 out of 7 times, the word religion is a bad word. We don't need religion. We need to be regenerated. Amen. We don't need church. We need Christ. Oh, that's the difference. And so religion in the Bible is just external. But salvation is internal. Amen. And so external religion is going to try to teach people to have peace with themselves. Oh, you see the preacher get up and he's all smiles and he bats his eyeballs a lot. And he tries to teach us to have peace with ourselves. Hey, let's move on. Then there's peace with man. Religion, the bad word, religion tries to teach us to have peace with other men. And indeed, forgiveness is a way, and the main way, that we have peace with others. Forgiveness. One little boy said this, as he was trying to quote the Lord's Prayer. He said, "Lord, forgive us our trash baskets as we forgive those who put trash in our basket." And that's so true. Forgiveness is part of peace with man, and religion tries to teach that. Religion tries to teach peace with nature, doesn't it? Oh, listen, there's nothing I like. Hey, listen, I like living in the Appalachian Mountains. Amen. I'm not ashamed to be a hillbilly, praise God. I'm really not. I love it. I love having peace with nature. But yet religion teaches peace with man, peace with self, and peace with nature. But you hear me, the way to find true peace is to find it with Almighty God, through the Word of God, and a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's how to find it. Listen, peace with God brings peace with self. Peace with God brings peace with others. Peace with God brings peace with nature. Amen. Now, go ahead and be turning back with me to the book of Judges chapter 6. I've lost my place, if you'll be just patient with me just enough. Judges chapter 6. I want us to read something here. By the way, while you're turning to Judges 6, the Bible tells us that the name of the city of God is Jerusalem. We're studying Jehovah Shalom. Jerusalem is just a way to shorten that word, Jehovah Shalom, Jerusalem. God is peace. Jehovah is peace. And so we're told to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Let's begin reading in Judges chapter 6 and verse number 11. Here you're going to find the word Jehovah Shalom. And the Bible says, "There came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak," which was in Ophrah, not Winfrey, "that pertained unto Joash the Abizrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, then why has all this befallen us? And where be all the miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said," strange thing here, "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then shew me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come to thee, and bring thee forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, that's the angel of the Lord, I will tarry till thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and he put it out unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. And the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and unleavened cakes. And the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord my God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. And here's the topic of our message. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Now, I want us to see something. Gideon here is threshing wheat, and he's threshing it, the Bible says, behind the wine press, just like this. He's threshing wheat behind the wine press because he's hiding from somebody. He's hiding from the Midianites who have oppressed them and who have brought about poverty to Israel. They would come in and wipe out the fields. They'd wipe out the herds. They'd wipe out the crops. And Israel was starving to death. And Gideon was trying to raise just a little bit of food for his family and having to hide to do it. And so the first time we see a man who builds an altar that says, Jehovah Shalom, my God is peace, is a man who is in the middle of conflict. You see that? And sometimes, Christian, you're going to have to build an altar to God. You're going to have to build an altar of prayer. You're going to have to build an altar of praise. You're going to have to build an altar that says, God is my peace. Though the conflict rages around me, God is my peace. We see a man who's disturbed because of his situation. Listen. Peace is not you in a perfect situation. We often dream of going to the beach, don't we? And we got this vision in our mind, if I could just get to the beach and I could just take my week's vacation and flip out my lawn chair and put on my Bermuda shorts and rub that stuff all over me and lay out in the sun, I'll just forget all my worries. It'll be peaceful and tranquil. I'll just have me a good time. And that'll work for about a day. And then the next day, like a little duck said, you got sand in your quack. And the situation is not so peaceful anymore. Hey, man. Hey, y'all been there? Yeah. And you're sunburnt. And about 3 days in a motel room and you're so grouchy the devil couldn't live with you. Hey, man, preacher. What's the matter? That, listen, there's a real point here. All of that tranquility and all of that scenery that you painted in your mind wasn't worth a flip, was it? Where's the peace? Where's the real peace? And so Gideon is not in perfect circumstances here. Jesus said, listen carefully, John 14:27, He said, my peace I leave with you. He didn't take his peace back to heaven. He didn't just suck it up with him like a big vacuum cleaner and says, get by if you can. See you later. He said, my peace I leave with you. He said, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You don't need to suffer all this anxiety. You don't need to suffer all this trouble in your heart. You need to have a right relationship with God. And Peter says we have that through the knowledge of God, through the Spirit of God that dwells on the inside of us, that leads us and teaches us and gives us peace in our heart. Praise God. Now, Gideon asks the question here. He said, now let's get the story. Gideon is in the midst of conflict. He's hiding to thresh wheat. The Midianites have sorely pressed on them. And Gideon, when the angel comes by, the first thing he does is ask, instead of saying, "Lord, I praise you that you come by. I honor you. You're the God of my peace." Gideon looks at the angel and said, let's read it in verse 13. The Gideon looks at the angel and said, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, then why is all this befallen us?" He's kind of sharp, ain't he? I mean, Gideon don't have a lot of peace right here. He's kind of sharp. "Lord, if you're really with us, then why is all this happening to us?" Boy, oh boy, you have to go back and read the chapter to find that out. And if you do, you'll find out that that nation sinned against God and God brought this judgment upon them. Amen. And so Gideon is just part of the judgment that is falling on the nation. That's what bothers me. I'm afraid judgment's going to fall on our nation, and there's some mighty good people in this nation that'll suffer because of it. Amen. There's some mighty good people who live individual lives that are good and wholesome and righteous, and they have peace with God, but we'll suffer because of the sin of our nation. And Gideon here was suffering because the sin of his nation. But he didn't understand it really. And so when the angel comes by, he says, "Why are we suffering?" The reason was not Gideon's sin. Listen, but the angels, just watch this. He didn't worry that Gideon sort of had a chip on his shoulder. He didn't worry about that. The Lord looked upon him and said, watch this, verse 14. The Lord looked upon him and said, "Go in this thy might." Well, wait a minute. Now, I'm a little confused at this point in time. Go, Gideon, you go in this thy might. Well, what might did he have? He's hiding. He's not a mighty man of valor. He's hiding behind the wine press. He's arguing with God. What kind of might did he have? He had faith, didn't he? He believed God. He believed God was the author of circumstances. He believed God had the power to put him in a circumstance. He believed that God had the power to take him out of his circumstance. So Gideon's faith was going to be his might. And the angel says, "Go in this thy might, you're going to be prosperous." There was not only peace given to Gideon, but there was a prediction of a prosperous enterprise that he was going to take. Now let me say this. You ever feel like Gideon? I mean, you just seem like you're just trying to hide from the troubles of the world. You ever done that? Just try to hide from all your troubles. I've done it and still do it at times. I mean, you think somehow you could just hide from your troubles, and then when God really comes by, you don't say, "Praise you, Lord, I worship you, I praise you, I give you." You say, "Lord, why is all this going on?" Amen. And so, The angel didn't chide with Gideon. The angel just says, "Gideon, tell you what, you go do and you be obedient personally, individually. You be obedient to my calling for your life and I'll give you peace." Amen. Ain't nobody shouting hallelujah this morning. You be obedient for what my calling is for your life, and I will give you peace. God's presence is promised. God has promised His presence to us, and He's promised us that our potential is prophesied. Now, God does not look on you and I this morning the way we are now. He looks on us, if we're saved, He looks on us through the blood of Jesus Christ. He looks on us as righteous through Christ. But He also, though we may be hiding from the storms of life, we may be arguing with God and asking questions on why things happen, He sees beyond that and He sees the potential that we have because we believe, because we trust Him, because we desire to be in His will in our very inner being. He sees the potential that we have and He speaks peace to our heart. I'm grateful for that. Gideon is in a bad situation. His theology's mixed up. There's no peace in his heart. Now he expects to die from the word which said, "No man shall see God and live." From his experience that he just witnessed, from his heart that he had real reverence for God and he really thought he was going to die because he saw the Lord. But the Lord said, "Gideon, I want to prove you with something. Go get an offering and a sacrifice and sacrifice that offering to me." And the angel touched it on the rock and it went up to God, and Gideon built an altar there and called it Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is my peace. I'm closing with this statement. In the midst of Gideon's fear, God blessed him with peace. In the midst of Gideon's troubles, God blessed him with peace. In the midst of Gideon's conflict, God blessed him with peace. Thank God for that this morning. And the angel said, "Go in this thy might." What was his might? It was the knowledge of God. And let me say this before I close. Gideon was asked to do a hard task. God just wasn't giving him peace for right then. He was giving him peace to fight. To fight a conflict, to be in a conflict in the future, and Gideon would have the peace of God. Understand this, church, as I close. Peace is not the absence of conflict. Peace is not the absence of conflict. Peace is having the tranquility of God in the midst of a troubled circumstance. That can only be found, as Peter said, through the knowledge of God and through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm through preaching. I want you to stand all over the house. When do you lose your peace? Every head bowed and every eye closed as we close the message. When do you lose your peace? When do you lose your cool? When do you lose your peace? I tell you when I lose my peace. Can I just be honest with you? It's when problems arise in my life and I think I'm the only one that can fix it. Are you listening? Problems arise in your life and you think you're the only one that's ever experienced it. You think you're the only one that can fix it. You think you're the only one who has encountered something like that and there's no help to be found. You know what? You'll lose your peace. You'll lose your tranquility with God. But remember this, the Bible says that therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question as we close. Lisa, if you'll slip out and come to the piano. Do you have peace with God? Is there turmoil inside of your heart? Is there hatred inside of your heart? Is there conflict? You're always just somehow involved in a conflict. There's a temper there that just flares so easy. If all these things are going on in your heart, do you know the Prince of Peace? You say, "Who is the Prince of Peace?" Jesus Christ. Do you know Him? Does His Spirit dwell in your heart? If it does, it brings peace. Yes, the family may be in an uproar. Yes, the nation may be in an uproar. Yes, we may be in world war before long. But if the Prince of Peace lives in your heart, there's individual peace for the day. There's a tranquility. There's a stability that belongs to you. Praise God for it. If you know Christ. But if you don't know Him, the Bible says that we're justified by faith and we have peace with God. Ephesians 2:14 says, "For He is our peace, who hath made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition between us." Let me talk to you just for a moment if you're lost. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, there is a middle wall of partition between you and God. You cannot break through that wall of partition. You cannot break through it with your works. You cannot break through it with your goodness. The only way you can break through that middle wall of partition is come to Jesus Christ, and the Bible said He's already broken it down. And He'll reach to you on one hand and reach to God on the other hand, and He'll mediate between you, bring you to God, forgive your sins, and bring the peace of God into your heart and into your life. Is there trouble in your heart this morning because you don't know Christ? Are you troubled at the thought of dying? Are you troubled at the thought of eternity? Are you troubled because of the sin that abounds in your life and the anxiety and the worry? Are you troubled because of those things? The only way you'll escape those is through Jesus Christ. The altar's open. So we wait just a moment. Now for you, Christian, can you say that God the Father is my peace? When you're weak, do you find divine strength in Him? When you're troubled, do you flee to the Lord and find your prayer closet and pour your heart out to God and walk away from that with the tranquility, the steadfastness of the Spirit of God in your life? The Bible says in Psalm 29:11, the Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. Are you blessed with peace? You know what that means? It means to be happy with the peace that you have in your heart. You may have a flat tire on the way home. The young'uns may get in a fight before the afternoon is over, but you're happy. Irregardless of your circumstance, you're happy with the peace of God that He's given you. He has blessed His people, Psalm 29:11, with peace. Can you say that? Let's sing that song. You can look this way. What number is that? 290. You can look this way. Let's sing a verse of that song. It's still early. Don't look at your watch or we'll sing every verse. Number 290.